The building crosswise was called the Village, and its entrance was an enormous arch that looked as if it wished to honor the era of the Testa Rosa. It was painted in horrible Americana pink, and the glass doors were bound with army brown duct tape. The cracks in the glass proposed a spiderweb, and handles were merely blocks of wood spiked through steel plates. Two prostitutes used the doorway as their stall, business as usual in Population City. The sidewalk served as a resting place for addicts and underclass, so long as the authorities did not catch anyone snoozing on the pavement. At the end of the street, a blue, football-shaped police sweeper halted, expelling six officers equipped in riot gear out of its barred back door. The Asian tourists clicked holosnaps and HD video of the police, who were encouraging the human litter along with their scrambler wands. A solitary, excitement-starved Arab offered an officer some euros to draw his pistol for the purpose of videoing it. The officer expeditiously accepted, rewarding the tourist with a mild pistol whipping. Pilot recoiled at the perception of distant blue flash and sputtering machine gun fire.
Another Dreadhouse raid, Pilot said aloud. The only thing the cops were good for was killing drug pushers in their infested townhome complexes.
Pilot had served in the Army 2 years back, in one of the final strikes against the Salafist group for preaching in combat in Algeria. He lost the use of his legs after locating a combat mine by applying his full body weight to it. Now the chair contained him, forever bound to it by a lack of faith in himself. The chair buzzed again as he re-entered the apartment, halting suddenly, locked by a makeshift table that was little more than a 6-foot slab of honeycomb beta carbon, suspended from above by coaxial cables. A random collection of video gear disordered the tabletop. 20th century Beta SP dubbing decks, D4 Digital, DVD-RW, mingled with early Ultratech, like a Mojo extended disc recorder. Totemora surround deck, hologram optical, and a homemade military ultraband receiver with silver cables lunging at the rectangular satellite dish in a forgotten corner. Pilot hit an octangular button on his oral spatializer, and the music of Angelina Devin occupied the apartment. Reaching for his favorite pair of binocs, he spun back around to face the torn screen window.
Are you home, sweetheart?
Pilot's question poised on his cracked lips. He trained the video binocs at the darkened balcony directly across from his own. She lived there, but was not currently home. Not yet, anyway. It was not quite 2000 yet, and Pilot had her schedule committed to memory, a result of his constant nocturnal balcony vigil. He shifted his glance to a lower balcony, where he viewed a stained mattress, yellowed by the toxins of the Enviro Towers. A red whiskey flask, molded in cheap Danish plastic, sat at its base. The screen door had been parted, and a defiled man, mid-40, stumbled out. Pilot observed. The man was of Puerto Rican descent. Pilot realized after numerous sightings of the tattoo the man displayed on his back. A flag in red and white, punctuated by a blue triangle with a solitary star at its core. Below the flag, words were scribed in green marking ink. Luce con el Diablo Sintetico. The man dropped to the mat, snatched up the flask, and drank himself into subtle submission.
And if I said you were all I ever wanted, would you hold me and promise to be true? Because you're all I hold you.
Angelina Devin knew how to sing it, though many of the infinitely hip youngsters of the day thought her songs were trippy and strictly for old shits. They were probably right. However, she was a traditionalist, one of the few remaining flesh and blood performers that Omnivision had long banned on their networks. She knew what Pilot felt, what he held inside his shattered heart, what he felt for the girl across the way. She was as real as Pilot in a grid-mad society. The light clicked on in her apartment, and Pilot muted the playback. He reached for a dimmer switch, snapping on the HD screen wired to his binocs by infrared. Pilot aimed himself at the balcony as he carefully wheeled to his perch. The HD displayed a silhouette, moving behind lineant pink drapes, hung across her screen door. Then, with a sudden whisking motion, like a curtain being drawn, the drapes parted, and there she stood. Long-hanging espresso hair, with supernal curls bobbing from the ends, hung in his view. The neon sign on Pilot's roof illuminated her face in burgundy harshness. Her dark eyes reflected the surprise right into Pilot's heart. She effortlessly glided to the edge of her balcony, gazing down at the choke of people. Pilot dropped the binocs on his lap, in case she would glance his way. She retreated into her apartment, and Pilot's electronic binoculars were once again pressed to his face. Latin hip-hop tided from the apartment opposite, and the girl reemerged, engaging in a balcony dance. Pilot grinned, inspecting the heavenly spirit, driving in a slow, rhythmic motion.
Just like an angel in this neon inferno,
Pilot muttered. The girl's taut body pressed through the silver bodysuit decorated with brand-name logos. She picked up the pace of her aerobic workout to the current work of Los Hermanos Supermachos. On the balcony below her, the man with the flask was also moved by the music. He emptied his canteen and leaned over the balcony, taking in the madness of a modern utopian city gone to hell. He began his litany of disgust about this crazy world, the same one that Pilot was trapped inside of right now. The Puerto Rican man's words crossed ethnicity in a drunken slur. She danced, circling to the aggrandizing beat. Pilot held his breath in anticipation of a great finale. But it did not come. She relentlessly pranced, spun, and hopped around, sweat pouring down her back, staining her body glove. The man below continued his howling. The music became her, and she the music as Pilot's psyche raced with the thought of both of them entwined in an ideal ballet, a perfect union. He made love to her repeatedly in his mind, standing erect on his own legs as she rode him to the Latin beat. The drunk then spoke to an invisible god, shaking his oily fist at the leaden sky. The drunk screamed his curse in a verbal loop. Her sweat reflected the mounting street lamps as the dancer threw herself on a deck chair in exhaustion. Pilot was still pondering her face, her breasts, and the curve of her sticky back. Then he felt his orgasm reaching from deep inside, and in a flash, the crippling world seemed magnificent. Everything seemed perfection, like the girl across the way.